It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
All right, welcome back. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, Double Team Sam. How are we doing today? Okay, so, all right, let me get situated here. Today we welcome Colette, who is a professional dominatrix that we got connected to via Shadow Band Co. So, hi, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. I love the mask.
Oh, thanks.
Or what do you call it?
A veil mask.
Veil, okay. Yep. And yeah. Is that, when did that come to be in the dom journey?
It was a gift from this like lace maker or like this, they're called Metamorph Corky Couture. They're based in like Scandinavia, and they gave me this veil and I put it on. And I was like, wait a second, I love the way this looks. And Now it's just part of my like whole look and persona.
I love it. Do you wear it like in every scene?
No, I don't. It's more just for public facing. I have the veil on. So in session, the veil comes off. My subs get to see me face to face. But I kind of like this like superhero kind of vibe where you don't really see my face until we meet face to face.
Oh, wow. I love that. I always say, like, at least in my experience, like in BDSM, I feel like there are, you know, certain like pieces or things that we wear that can like bring about different energies within us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, for example, I have these claws that every time I wear them, like I feel like my inner dom comes out.
Yeah.
So it just kind of like helps like transform the energy within me. So I wondered if like the veil was something like that for you as well.
I think so too. Yeah. When I put it on, I feel like, oh, okay. It completes the look for me.
Yep. Do you also feel like it helps like almost create this, I don't want to say like barrier, but in a way just, I guess like a veil.
Yeah.
In a sense of like.
I think it does create this like mystery and this allure and this intrigue of like, who is this person behind the veil? And I like that you have to actually meet me face to face to be able to see my face. And so I get to kind of just blend into the world and nobody knows who I am.
Wow.
And
I like that.
Really, maybe someday I'll reveal myself and take off the veil, but I think I'll also have fun with the reveal as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you have Scorpio placements?
I do, actually.
Okay, because the when you said that screamed Scorpio to me. Wait, do you know which placements?
I'm not exactly sure. I had an astrologer look at my chart and she's like, oh, it totally makes sense why you're a dom. You have so many like parts of you in Scorpio. I'm like, okay.
Scorpio,
yeah. It's a very kinky.
What's your sun sign?
It's Aquarius.
Oh, also kinky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Aquarius is more kinky in the sense that it's like it likes things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Also, I'm like more weird.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it still sounds good.
You think so?
Okay. Oh yeah.
Anyways,
so how did you get started?
Yeah. How did this come to be?
Being a professional dominatrix.
So it started in 2005.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Way back when I was a grad student at UC Berkeley, it was my first year in grad school, and I had moved up to the Bay Area from LA, and my friends who went to UCLA with me as undergrads, they started working at this house of domination called The Gates, and one of them didn't have a great experience and was fired, and another one did have a good experience, and she like... she told me about her day at the office or day at the dungeon when we were like having soup together at lunch. And she's like, yeah, today I just like tied a guy up. I put some clothespins on his nipples and balls and I spanked him. And then I put a strap on and fucked him in the ass. And then I pissed on him. And that was my day. And I was like, what? That's crazy. That's your day at the office. I want stories like that.
Yeah.
And she paid for our lunch and she pulled out this like $100 bill and she's like, yeah, this is like this new problem I have now. You know, we get paid in cash. And so I'm always breaking these hundreds at random places that I go. And I was like, okay, I want stories like that. I want problems like that. Where do we go to like get signed up? And so she, you know, directed me towards the gates and I went in for an interview and kind of lied about my experience and said I had some personal experience in kink, but didn't really. And then I just went in and started taking sessions.
I love that. And then you just kind of learned along the way?
You learned along the way. There was no training at all at the house. You just shadow sessions, which is you sit in on sessions, observe them and maybe participate. And you just start taking sessions when you feel ready to start taking them and start making money. So I was like, okay, after like five sessions, I'm like, I'm ready. Wow. I think.
What was your first session like?
Yeah, it was good. I think I was nervous at first because I was just like, oh fuck, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? But I just kind of went with it and just flowed. And the sub or the client brought like this like 12-foot bull whip and he was like, oh, if you want, you could use this on me. And I was like, I'm just going to put this aside. And I didn't touch it the whole time, but I just kind of, just went with what I thought a dom would do. And by the end of the session, I told him that was my first session. And he was like, no way. You could have fooled me. And so I just continued playing from there. And
nice.
Yeah, just built more confidence as I went.
I love it.
I feel like I need to go to a dungeon.
You do.
Well, no,
you
can come to my dungeon. San Fran is very kinky.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised when you said that you went up to NorCal for it, because I've heard there were a lot of, or there still are a lot of dungeons and stuff up there.
Yeah. I own a dungeon. So if you guys ever come up to the Bay.
And that's where it is, right? The dungeon is in the Bay Area?
Yes. Well, first I started working on a commercial dungeon called The Gates, and then I went independent, and then I bought a dungeon from another dominatrix. And then so I've co-owned this dungeon play space with another mistress for 13 years now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, next time we go, I'd love to.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so now walk me through this, because now it seems like, at least from what I've seen, like on your social media page,
yeah.
Do you have you have a servant or
a houseboy?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how do we get to from and now? Okay, I have a question. Is he a client or a relationship?
He's a former client, and now he's just a houseboy who takes care of my house and my dungeon as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay. Okay, so it was professional but turned more personal maybe?
More personal, yeah. It felt like it was, I've known him for like, since like 2006 or so.
Long time,
yeah. A long time. I trust him. He knows me very well. And he's just a really good friend. And it just kind of transitioned to him being a houseboy, being a friend.
And so it's more a platonic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dynamic. I love watching the clips. He's adorable.
He is. Yeah, he's super adorable. He's so sweet when you meet him in person. I have this stuffed teddy bear named Cutie that I've had since I was six. And like, I'm obsessed with my bear and so is he. So every week he comes and visit her and gets her for 24 hours. He takes her on a ramble, hiking in the woods, takes tons of pictures of her. And then post them on his Tumblr blog with like matching the photos with like poetry. He's like, and he has a tattoo of her on his forearm.
Oh, wow.
I feel like that's the way in my heart, by loving my teddy bear.
Oh, that sounds so wholesome. Yeah. But I also what was it? I was watching a clip where it was like you went into your closet or something.
Yeah.
And then there was like a little door that you open, and then he was in there like ironing clothes or something.
Yes, yeah. So that closet or that little dungeon cell, it's actually in the closet of my bedroom. Like when I bought the house, it was like this special thing that I didn't even know. It was like, oh my God, there's like this house is made for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Perfect.
It was crazy. And so I used to like put him in there because he liked being like locked up in there. But then there was one incident where I locked him up in there. And I went for a walk with friends in the park, got high, and totally forgot that I'd locked him in the closet. And he, like, freaked the fuck out when I got back. And that was the last time that we really had a serious, like, lock him in the cell. And so now it's just more, like, you know, a couple of minutes that. At a time.
Or I was wondering about that because, like, for me, that would give me such major claustrophobia. Oh, yeah. I was like, more power to him for being able to stay. Like, some people get off on that, too.
Yeah.
I guess, like, not anymore.
Yeah.
I'm curious. So when you started at the dungeon, it was more as a dominant. Have you ever been submissive?
Actually, when I first worked at the gates, there was this policy that all the new mistresses had to be switches, professional switches, subs, okay. and tops, just so that, you would get, like, you know, some exposure as being a sub and understand the psychology. But it was more for, like, the headmistress wanting to, like, really milk us and for, like, because she knew that it's just more profitable for her. Yeah. And so I was a professional switch. And then before that, I think when I did have lots of fantasies, it was more as, like, thinking about either myself or other, like, women in submissive situations.
Yeah.
And so I think I've always had the psychology of a sub as well, to really understand what makes a sub tick and what really just, like, gets under their skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I think I definitely started more sub. And then I, you know, started exploring more, like, switchiness. And I think I find a lot that it just depends on the person that I'm with and, like, the energy that they bring about.
Yeah.
That will kind of dictate what energy, like, comes out of me. Mm-hmm. And so that's always been kind of, like, a fun, you know, aspect of my journey to kind of see. I think Cammy's very, very sub.
Yeah.
I think she likes topping.
I like to top. Yeah. But I'm more submissive. And I was thinking the other day, I was kind of sad because I was reading these books and I kept thinking, I was like, man, it's been a while since I've been a sub and I kind of miss it. So I'm hoping I get back to it eventually.
So. It's hard. You have to find the right person that you feel like can actually top you. And, you know, once, if you're a switch, you also have standards of who you want to top you. And, like, you know, and if you've been a dom, then you know exactly
how. I think I'll, you know, my next... I don't know. I have a feeling that whoever I'm with next, like, my next partner will be able to, like, dominate me in the way that I want to. Mm. So it's just, like, I'm curious, like, for you and, like, in your journey, because it's been, like, more professional, like, in the subject of, like, other people and, like, the energy that they bring about us, have you ever had, like, customers or clients where you're just like, I'm not feeling this energy, like, I can't get into this headspace. Has that ever come up?
Sometimes. I think it's really about chemistry, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like you have to kind of treat it as though it's like dating, but a little bit different. But yeah, you have to make sure the vibe is right, that when you play together, it feels very fluid. For me, the metric of, like, a good sub or a good session is, how do I feel at the end? Do I feel drained or do I feel energized? If I feel energized, then I definitely want to see you again, because there's something about our play that really just is additive. But if it feels like you're draining me and I feel super drained at the end of the session, then I most likely won't play with you again.
I have a question. Do you require kink in your relationships, like your personal relationships?
No, not really. I think,
interesting.
Well, because it's almost like, you know, that Seinfeld episode of, like, I can't remember which character, but he's, like, dating the masseuse and he's always, like, wanting a free massage from his, like, girlfriend who's a masseuse. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, it just feels like I want to be the opposite of.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. A vanilla missionary.
Yeah. Vanilla equals sounds great. Yeah.
I love that.
But yeah, no, I like playing around too with my partner, but I do think, like, I get my fill for sure in the dungeon.
I remember my ex Dom used to say, there's always kink in my sex, but not always sex in my kink. Because like, he was someone that really loved kink and it was always, like, very much incorporated into you know, everything that he did, like, in his, like, sexual exploration. But a lot of times, like, in his kink, there wasn't always sex in it. So because sometimes we would have scenes where there was, like, no sex involved. Yeah. It was just, you know, like, the sensations of it or whatever we were doing for that scene. But yeah, I remember he was someone that really, like, in his personal relationships as well, very much needed it. So I always find it interesting to see, you know, kind of, like, for someone that does it on a professional basis, you know, how it interacts with their personal relationships as well. So.
Yeah.
Do you have a partner right now?
Yes, I do.
Oh, and how do they feel about it?
Yeah. They love it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're always wanting to play in that way. And
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are they someone that has like experience in that realm?
Yeah, okay. They do have experience. They've actually seen some of my friends who are DOMs like before we even met. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Are y'all non-monogamous?
We did have an open relationship, but I feels like it's kind of defaulting to monogamish like in the past year. Okay. But I've been in an open relationship for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, perfect. Like if it's just like fluid and what feels like right at the time.
Yeah.
Not that most kink relationships are non-monogamous. I do find that, you know, you see a lot of overlap between the two.
Yeah, you do.
Especially when you have switches or like people that like to like play with different genders and whatnot. And have you had like scenes or clients that are like both men and women, or do you have like a preference in terms of what gender?
No preference. I love playing with all. I love playing with men, women, queer, non-binary folks and couples. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What would you say my curiosity is like, what's the weirdest request in a scene that you've ever gotten?
The weirdest request? Well, the one request that I think is the strangest that I even said no to was somebody reaching out wanting to be castrated and then having his penis cooked in this Chinese restaurant that cooks like in Atlanta or something, where they cook like animal cocks or in like Chinese style, and then have me eat it. And so I was like, nah, I think I'm gonna pass on that.
Totally understand.
Oh my
that.
God,
I cannot.
That was not what I expected.
I thought it was just gonna be like, I don't know, someone peeing in my eye, but this is just that
request.
Is wild.
Yeah.
I feel like that requires like medical intervention. Like you would need a doctor to do that correctly.
I think so. I think it probably would have required all of that if it was going to be like handled in a Chinese restaurant and I was going to eat it. Yeah. I don't know how they were trying to pull that off, but it just felt like way too much.
That is a lot
for things to go wrong. And yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Okay. And what would you say is the most common?
Wait, I wasn't going to ask most common. I was actually really curious to hear, like, is there one that, like, going into it, you're like, ooh, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this, and then you did it, and then you were just, like, loved it. Like, okay, wow, that was great.
I do have one of those. I have two subs now who like having their, like, balls nailed to a board. And
what?
Okay. When I first was attempting to do this, I was like, well, this seems a little bit like crazy. And like, but he was also like a nurse, so he knew exactly what to do and like which areas to avoid when you're nailing. And so I felt safe to do it. And then when I was doing it, it was like, do you want to know what it felt like? Or is it getting too
close? I'm curious. Yeah, no, go ahead.
I think our listeners will want to know.
Yeah, I want to know.
It's like, imagine like nailing something that's kind of like a plum with a really thick skin. Like,
okay.
You know, it feels like it's like hard to kind of like nail through at first. But once you get through that thick like layer, it just like glides in really quickly.
Oh, wow.
And then you're just.
Okay, wait. Mm-hmm. Walk me through this.
So this is like Jesus, like nailing to a cross.
Yeah, okay, totally, wow. Yeah.
So is it like a long nail?
Yeah,
with a a hammer?
A hammer, yep. So it and just has like the sounds like a wood shop and
And you go through like the ball.
Yeah, the balls. Yeah.
And how does this affect their sperm?
I think he's like he's okay with not having kids and all that stuff.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Is there blood? Yeah. Was there?
There's lots of blood. And like, and I think what made it okay for me is his excitement and the pleasure that he gets from it. Like with every like nailing, he's just like screaming, I love you. And just sounds like it's pleasure. And so for me, I was just like, okay, if he's really getting so much pleasure from this, then I could also work my like mind around it.
Does he come from it?
He does. Yeah. Wow. So it's just and like imagine blood come like it's a crazy like bath of like fluids.
You have two subs that like this?
Yeah. The second sub doesn't want it through his balls, but just through the scrotum.
Okay, through the sock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here I thought I was kinky.
Yeah, dude, I know. I was like,
wait a minute.
I feel vanilla as fuck after listening
to this.
I'm so
vanilla after this.
What?
I just like a little pee on me every now and then across the face.
Nothing too.
And just a little spank every now and then. Just a little pat.
I know blood, like when Cammy asked that, I have an interesting relationship with blood because... Yeah. On one hand, I love knife play, but I don't want to be cut.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I like, if I see a lot of blood, it does make me a little queasy. Yeah. However, like my two doms that I used, it was a couple, it was a male and a female. They were both pro doms as well.
Yeah.
And I just remember like anytime I was on my period, I'd go over there and I'd be like, hey guys, I'm on my period. And they're like, we don't give a fuck. If anything, they would like make a mess of it. And I loved that.
Oh my God, that's so hot.
And like, and sometimes I still, like when it comes to knife play, I'm not there yet, but sometimes I still think about like what it would be like to maybe like go into, you know, drawing blood with it.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet, but like it does make me curious. And so like when you said that, like when there's just like a mixture of fluids and like I like the mixture of fluids.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm still like working on that relationship with blood because it's kind of it's an interesting. Yeah.
It's still edgy. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like with knife play, you know, a lot of knife play doesn't draw any blood. It's just the
just the sensation of it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. At least that's my favorite piece of it.
What's the aftercare like for the ball nailing?
For the ball nailing, just like putting like some pressure on it with like some rubbing alcohol and gauze and making sure that the blood just stops.
Wow. Does it swell?
I have
so many questions.
It doesn't swell too much. Yeah, it just has like some punctures to it. And
our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yeah.
I'm curious because I know I'm sure a lot of what you do is like for, you know, the satisfaction of like your submissives,
mm-hmm.
And your clients. And I know, you know, you mentioned that you like seeing that and you like kind of like the reaction that you get out of it as well. But like, you know, when you go into like a scene,
mm-hmm.
like what do you want to feel out of it? Like besides like seeing them enjoy it and like getting the gratification from that, like what is it about like, you know, being the mistress or being the dominant mm-hmm. that like is appealing to you, like the emotions that it draws?
I love being the one that guides the sub or anyone to a new experience. I think like, you know, even if I were to like really think back to like my child self when I was young, I was always that girl who was just like, what? You never been down that cement slide? We have to go. It's just like, I love introducing people to new experiences in their first.
So an exposure kink.
Yeah. And so I think for me, I just love the trust that comes with kink and having somebody trust me to take them to their edges and explore new experiences. And for me, I guess I get off on that. It's just like so much trust in like somebody giving me this like control over how they feel, what they're going to experience and where they're going to go. And just the deepening of that play of going further and further to the edge. I love pushing boundaries and just finding where the edges of their boundaries are. And then just also kind of blowing their mind where they're like, oh my God, I never thought I would be into that, but I'm like so into it now. And just figuring out what their hot spots and sweet spots are.
Yeah.
And I just like dialing people in and getting in their heads and seeing how far I could take them.
Love that.
Wow. So, okay, wait. And now it takes me back to my first question.
Mm-hmm.
What is like, I don't know, whenever you have a new, you know, client or whoever come into the dungeon, what is usually like the biggest request or the most common request that you get?
I know, yeah, in a dungeon setting, I wonder if that would be different. Yeah.
I think the most common like experience or feeling that a lot of the sub like clients come for is this feeling of pleasing their mistress. So pleasing me, anything that makes me smile. And so
interesting,
whatever it is that I want to do to them, that I could be as sadistic as I want. They are just taking everything that I want to give them. And they're just like really working to earn my, just to see me smile and to please me.
Oh, I like that.
Do you find that it's different or like between men and women? Mm-hmm. Like I would think that men are probably a little bit more inclined towards like pleasing, mm-hmm, like the dominance, whereas like women are probably more inclined to like, let me think on that.
No, I would say the same.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I would think men would be more inclined towards it.
No, I think especially, mm-hmm, I don't know, just like from the times that I, you know, when I used to sub and be in my sub space, like it was all just about pleasing. Mm-hmm. Like it was at the end of the day, it just like that would make me the happiest in my subspaces.
See, for me, it was just about feeling. I was like, I'm just here to receive. Mm-hmm. When mm-hmm, I was a submissive.
Well, baby. You're more switchy.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like that's your switchy side coming out.
Maybe.
But I don't know. Well, so, I mean, I don't want to word this question. When did you decide to, because you have your platform now, like, especially on, you know, through like your business and like Instagram and like, you know, showing people how you dom, like what made you decide to take that route?
Of like kind of being an educatrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that term.
Educatrix.
That is so cute. Yeah. Love that.
And one of my subs like just kind of created that neologism because I got my PhD in education, and then he was like, oh, that makes you an educatrix. So I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow. But you have a doctorate?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, fascinating. Good for you. That's amazing.
Woman boss over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I feel like I'm applying my PhD in education in the best way possible, creating a dom school. I think just throughout my whole career as a dom, there were friends and friends of friends who would come to me asking for mentorship or training, wanting to gain exposure into this world. And I would always say yes, because the experience of being a dom is so life-changing.
Yeah.
I love creating life-changing experiences. And so just showing someone the ropes, I know that that's just like an experience that will forever change them, whether they do choose to be a dom or not. Mm-hmm. And so I just love seeing women and femmes come into their power through being a dom. It's just a really wonderful way to explore your power and your sexuality.
Yeah.
And so I was just doing it all the time. And then eventually my friend who, Amy Chan, she was the one who invited me to teach at Breakup Bootcamp. And that was like in 2017. And that was my first time teaching as a dominatrix about power. And I was super nervous, but I did it, and it felt amazing to share the wisdom of this space and the knowledge that comes from the edges. And so I just kept on going, and we created a dom boot camp together. And then she was like, you should do something on your own. So I created Mistress Class, and that was 2 years ago. And the first time I opened up Mistress Class, like 111 women enrolled.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was just like, whoa,
oh,
this
heck
is,
yeah.
And ever since then, this is the fifth time I'm teaching Mistress Class, and it's always around like 80 to 100 women and femmes wanting to explore their dominant side. And I just think it's like, it's our time to really explore and play and come into our power. And
yeah,
it's like the most rewarding thing I could possibly be doing.
Love that. I love seeing, especially in the kink community, like the doms and subs who teach publicly and teach it like really well, because we need more of that.
Yeah. And I know it's hard to like, you know, put yourself out there and like have a platform and all of that, especially when you're doing kinky things, just because, you know, it's still something that's like considered taboo. So like,
absolutely.
I know. Yeah. And, you know, like we're two people that also have content that, you know, always gets a lot of different reactions. So
yeah.
It's like, it's hard to put yourself out there, but agreed. I think it's great. Like when, you know, people are able to, like, you know, be proud about their presence and, you know, the things that they're educating people on and have that presence and, like, you know, just put it out there for others so they can learn and everything from it. So, because not everyone, you know, has the ability to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so. I agree. It's pretty divisive and kind of edgy to talk about these things because they are taboo. And so you do get, you do become a target. And I've been targeted. I was framed as a sex cult leader last year. And
fun.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Actually, it really does sound fun. What's wrong with the sex cult? I think of all the cults, that's probably a pretty safe one.
Somewhat.
They're having the most fun. But also it's all those Scorpio placements.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You also just have, you do have this very, like, you have kind of like this underworld energy to you, you know, like it's giving it like deep.
Well, it's funny because, like, I, especially when you walked in, I was like, I would never picture this person as a dominatrix. And you have this very, like, kind of like soft spoken, almost like nurturing energy. But then I hear you talk about some of these things and I'm like, there is an undercurrent there.
Yes.
That, like, once, you know, for the people that are able to tap into it, that is a whole nother world.
Well, and that's, and that's what I'm saying. I love the underworld. You know, you got to get deep in there. I think that's, like, one of the best energies to work with because it's, like, you know, like you were talking about earlier, you're guiding people through these experiences and touching the edges, but, like, in a really positive, safe way.
And for a lot of those people, it is the pieces of themselves that they're not willing to show to others. Mm-hmm. You know, it is that undercurrent because maybe they're not ready to, you know, to have those, like, pieces of themselves, like, out and about. But that's interesting. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I love playing with the, like, the different sides of ourselves. And I love that people can't tell that I'm a dominatrix. They're like, what? You're dumb, but you seem so sweet. And I was like, oh my God, it's so fun when you see me in the dungeon. It's just a completely different person.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
I just want to throwing that out there.
What's your normal, like, what do you wear?
I wear?
Yeah.
Oh, in the dungeon?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it just varies. It's play suits, latex. I like to go for, like, comfortable things. So I'm not going to be wearing, like, a latex catsuit. But, I like things that I could really move around in. And so, like, play suits are really fun because they're kind of like a onesie that's all sexy and allows me to just really be, like, mobile. So I'd say lots of play suits. And latex that's not, like, full body.
Yeah. Latex is hard.
Even this top right now, I'm like, my hair is sticking to it.
I love that you're wearing it.
Well, I don't know. I love
that's
this top.
That's my top, and I'm upset because it needs to be properly washed.
It does need to be cleaned. This one needs to be washed.
I don't think people realize, like,
a lot of upkeep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I know.
It's like taking care of a baby.
Not quite.
Maybe not. But
you gotta wash it with Dawn soap. You gotta make sure it doesn't touch metal.
Yeah, exactly. Feed it twice a day. You know, like.
Okay, but maybe when we get home, we should wash it with Dawn soap because it needs it.
No, I have the Vivid wash.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See?
Now, I'm curious, like, in terms of, you know, and you don't have to answer questions about your personal life if you don't want to. But, like, for example, like, you know, do all your friends and family know what you do? Like, is it something that you're very, like, open with everyone about? Or, like, you know...
Yeah.
Do they know? Because, for example, like, you know, we have our pod page, but, like, we blocked all of our family from seeing it. They kind of know about it, but, like, we still block them. But I'm curious, like, to what extent, like, you know, both the inner and the outer circle, like, knows.
Well, so when I first started, I didn't tell most of my family other than my sister. Well, actually, it took, like, a couple of years. Then I told my sister about what I did.
Yeah.
But I hid it from my family. Also didn't reveal it to anyone in academia except for, like, another friend and colleague. Mm. And so it was most of my friends knew what I was doing. But it wasn't until, like, a decade into it that I was outed by my sister to my mom about what I did. And then my stepdad as well. And so that was, like, a pretty, like... big moment of being coming out. And so that was, like, what, 2014? And, you know, my family wanted me to quit. And so I really had to choose. I'm like, oh shit, do I make my family happy and quit what I'm doing that makes me really happy? Or do I continue doing what I love and make my family unhappy? And I just chose to continue doing what I do with this like vision that I'm like, you know, at some point I'm just going to keep on dispelling these misconceptions about kink and sex work, and they will come around and hopefully they'll be proud of what I do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, fast forward to now, I'm like teaching mistress class. My mom, my family, they all know what I'm doing. They're super supportive. And my mom actually is, you know, helping me in the process. She, like we, the welcome kit of mistress class has like a veil. And so she, you know, finds the lace and has my seamstress or make them. And so she's a huge part of this process as well in terms of just being my biggest cheerleader. And so I never thought that would ever be possible at all when I first started or even when I was outed. And now I'm like, oh, that. They're proud of me. And so
I love that.
I think it's also a big lesson and, you know, and a good reminder for like anyone listening that like, you know, a lot of times like we don't want to upset the people around us, but like I think if we really do stick to like what makes us happy and like what we truly love, eventually, especially the people that really do truly love you and care for you, like they'll see just how happy it makes you. They'll see just how much of an impact it has like on your life and like whoever else is around you. And like, you know, I think that, you know, they eventually like catch on or come around. And so, you know, should always do it for you and not, you know, hopefully or trying to like avoid upsetting others.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I'm happy that they were able to like come around and be a great supportive resource for you.
Yeah, I'm really happy about it, too. And I think it just also taught me about like the importance of your like owning your truth and speaking your truth. Like I think before I wasn't really in my power because I was hiding this part of myself from the people I love.
Yeah.
And once you could actually be out and be completely just embodying that truth and speaking that truth, like every part of you becomes true, even your wildest dream. Like it's in my wildest dream that my family knows what I'm doing and they get it and they're proud of me. But that's what happens when you like walk that path of like having those difficult conversations and allowing them to create this shared reality with you.
Love that.
What would you say? Well, I guess like one of my last questions would be like, what's your biggest fantasy?
Yeah. What's your wildest dream for your dominatrix career? What's your vision?
Oh my gosh. Just like continuing and building this army of doms, like just like seeing more and more doms come into their power, just seeing this shift in our structure and society of seeing like patriarchy crumbling because there's so many women in their power and they know their worth, they know their value, and they know how to play with their power, and they show the world how we do it. What does power truly look like from the divine feminine standpoint? And it's just full of love, compassion, collaboration, cooperation, and it's just magic.
Oh, I would join a sex cult if you started.
I was going to say, whatever cult you start, sign me up.
Yeah, I will be there.
It's a sexy culture I'm creating, but it could be confused as a sex cult sometimes.
And I'm assuming this is kind of like, you know, those values right there is what you, you know, work to instill in your, you know, clients and your doms and the ones that you teach. Mm-hmm. So it's so interesting because you have like the, you know, the ones that you work with and you teach and then the ones that you're the dominant for in the terms of like in providing their experience. I'd be curious, like what... those seem like two different energies, but would you say at the core they're actually very similar?
I think it is very similar. It's really just, I think for me, I define power is this ability to create change or inspire change.
Yeah.
And I think that I do that as a dom in the dungeon with my subs. I'm inspiring them to change and transform themselves for me. And if that means losing their ego and sense of self as they become objectified and degraded, then, you know, that's one way of changing themselves. And for the mistresses and mistress class, it's about changing themselves, transforming themselves to be the most powerful, badass version of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think in every realm, it's about inspiring change. Mm. And I think that's the power that I like to cultivate and create and spread.
I would love to do your chart sometime. To
I know why you have a PhD in education. Yeah. Oh,
okay. I love that. I mean, well, like I said, you know, the PhD, not that, you know, most dominants like aren't educated, but like it's still just something that's very like surprising. But then also like your demeanor and everything. And then there's this whole side of you. I love it. I love it. I think it's amazing.
The combo of both energies is really like,
and just the vulnerability and also the authenticity that you bring to it. I think that's going to make you very successful in in that vision of the army of Doms. And I'm just envisioning this like awesome, like everyone's in like, you know,
yeah,
these like badass cat mm-hmm. suits.
Yep.
And whips.
I just
want to
be seated with a leash and collar. Just cute. Looking up really
with their
happy.
Male submissives on the collars following behind them.
Yep.
Okay, I think as my last question, if you can recall, give us your favorite scene that you've ever done.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Okay. Maybe it's one of my, I'd say this is one of my favorites. There's so many. And so this one was a public scene, and it was, I think, in like 2018. I can't remember when the presidential election was, when it was like with Obama and somebody else, Romney. I can't remember. But it was like, I had my sub. We went to Mr. S, which was this like a sex shop in San Francisco, and we had him all like geared up with this Aristech unit. So, you know, Aristech, it's kind of like the electro stimulation that you could like attach all these attachments to and like send electricity through. And so he was wearing a silicone sleeve around his balls. And so, and then that was attached to the Aristech, which has like this remote to it. So you could zap.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we watched this like presidential election debate that was in this like public space in the city. It was at this club, and so it was like a giant screen. People were everywhere, and we were seated in front, and there were people standing behind us. And so I had a list of words that if they were uttered in the debate, he would get a zap. And it was like allies, sanctions, Iraq, and they were just like words I know that they would use. And like, and like during the debate, like they kept on saying crippling sanctions, allies over and over. And so I would just like zap him every time and just look like he had Tourette's or something. He was just jumping in his seat and convulsing and like screaming, and no one knew what was going on. And I just tried to like, you know, contain myself from like laughing so hard. So that was one of my most memorable scenes because it was like one of the funniest and unique scenes.
I love that. I love that,
that
it was
a Manila setting.
Yeah, it was in a Manila setting. Yeah.
I love that it was a presidential election, like bringing kink to politics.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Exactly. Fuck America.
Gotta have fun with it somehow.
Well, I am inspired by you. I want to come check out this dungeon.
Please.
I would love to.
Thank you for joining us today.
Oh my
this
goodness,
was so, good.
So much fun.
The ball kneeling will stick with me for a long time.
Would your houseboy ever be down to come with you and record?
Possibly. He does have, he has these anxieties, social anxieties.
Okay,
so he likes
fair.
Kind of just like, if he would, he'd probably be in like a gimp suit in the corner and not talk. Would be his like, but yeah. Be
that's fine. What if we give him like yes and no?
Oh yeah, that would be fine. Yeah.
Okay, that would be
fine. Because I would love to ask him like just to know like his experience and like that. You know, that mindset that I would just love to talk to.
I do have other subs who are really awesome, devoted, and are more vocal and love to come and share.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Well, yay.
Would you like to plug yourself for anyone that wants to find your content, your mistress classes, anything?
Yeah, I guess just find me on social media, Instagram. I'm pretty active on there now. So at Colette Prevette. I guess I also am at Domina Colette on Instagram. I have two handles. Because as sex workers, you always got to have two.
We have two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And we're not even technically sex workers, but we have two just in case.
Yeah. Good idea. Because you're talking about sex, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So,
yeah.
And all then, right. And as creative as we've tried to get with like all of our content, you still can never be too careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sucks. But anyways, well, keep doing what you're doing. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, this has been amazing. Thank you so
much. Yeah, we definitely need a part two coming up soon.
Yeah, and I could bring a sub too.
Yes, I would love that.
I would love that as well. Yeah.
I wanna...
It's been a long time since we've covered kinks, so I'm like,
I need fellow subs around me. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea to really have the conversation about both sides.
Okay. Well, do you want to do your...
Yes. Well, you guys know where to find us, doubleteampodcast.com. All relevant links are there. You can also just Instagram doubleteampodcast at Cammy and Nikki and wear condoms.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you guys for tuning in. I cannot believe you nailed balls. That is just... We'll be right back.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.